I remember when I was younger, I was just kind of coming into my faith. You know, we all have to have a time in our own lives where we make our faith our own. You know, our parents can teach us our faith, but there comes a point in time when we have to question, we have to kind of go through these answers ourselves and discover our faith anew and get to really know Jesus. And so I was kind of in this time and I was reading this gospel message, and of course I came across this passage. And it said here, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." And I kind of stopped there. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on here? Is this like cannibalism? I mean, we eat his flesh? I mean, what's going on here with all this stuff? So I was kind of arguing with myself, how can this be? What's going on here? What does this mean? And what is this all thing? It's like, are we actually eating the flesh of Jesus? So I was going on and on for about like 5 minutes for this. And then I kind of read on. I'm like, well, if I got to find out the answer, I got to read on. So I read on, and of course, the next thing is the Jews quarrel among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? So obviously the Jews have the same question I had. Very realistic question. What's going on? What is this? And so I'm like, okay, well, I got to have the answer. I got to keep reading. And the answer was a little bit different than what I expected. Jesus' response was, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." I'm like, wow. Okay, he didn't say, no, you're misunderstanding me, it's a symbol. He didn't say that. So the Eucharist is not just a symbol. He's actually getting more in your face about it. Amen, amen, I say to you. It's like, boom, it's putting the exclamation point. Unless you eat. Now, the first time he says it, it's almost like, I don't know how else to explain it, but in the original language, it was more like eat, but it's like, I don't know, I'll use the example of taste because it's a lighter word of saying it. Unless you taste the flesh. Now, if you eat, and then later on he goes, if you gnaw, if you chew. He's actually getting more and more graphic about it. So he's kind of nailing it home. No, this is my flesh. And so, on top of that, okay, he's putting a more exclamation point on it, but he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. He's making it necessary for salvation. So this is another sacrament that we need, especially when you talk about food for the journey. They call it food for the journey, Holy Viaticum. When we receive Jesus in the Eucharist for a very last time in this life. You know, so when you ever get somebody who's dying, call for the priest to get anointed, and they can receive Jesus in the Eucharist, food for the journey to get to heaven. That's the journey to heaven. We're all on our pilgrimage to heaven. We got to remember that. So it's food for the journey. So we do not have life within us unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood. Wow. Okay. So this is something important. That doesn't mean when we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we take the Eucharist in a state of mortal sin. It's always within the bounds of how he would have us receive him, right? So that's kind of an interesting thing. And he kind of reiterates, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him on the last day. Eternal life. So that now we start to see, coming to the point, when we look at the blood of Jesus, when we look at just the symbol of what blood means, reminding it is a symbol, but it's more than a symbol. It brings about a reality. So to understand what reality it brings out, we got to understand what the symbol means. And so the blood, what does blood do? And even in the Jewish times, they understood blood meant life. Blood is something sacred. You see, like when a soldier had to go out and do war, he had to cleanse himself of the blood. Why? Because the blood is bad? No, because it is sacred, and they just shed the sacred. And so you don't mess around with that. You had to make sure you were clean. The sacredness of that. And even when it came to the ritual meals, when you look in the book of Leviticus and all the rules in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you know the boring books, the ones that are hard to read while staying awake. It's interesting in that you have to study it, go through a little bit of that, but when they had to offer the rituals, they had to hang the animals upside down and slit their throats so the blood would not go onto the body of the animal. If that happened, it wasn't a pure sacrifice because the sacred blood that the animals had that gave life would be spread all of that. And because of that, see, because of the sacredness, you couldn't eat the meat when it was butchered. You had to bloodlet it all out. Now, this gives a different understanding of Jesus Christ on the cross, the Lamb of God who is sacrificed, where all the blood is drained. When we look at the pierced heart of Jesus, we start to see and understand the sacrifice and the life blood that came out of that innocent lamb, Jesus Christ. And that is the blood that we receive on the altar, where we receive the sacred. We receive what is utterly holy, the life, the not human life, the divine life of God. Where in the human life, the blood of the humanity is mingled with the blood of the divine. And we receive by nature is of God, is inherited to us eternal life. And so what is here at this sacred altar, this altar of the sacrifice, becomes a mean of grace and holiness. Hopefully this is what we experience when we receive the Eucharist, when we leave church, we receive that grace of peace and strength and consolation. This is what we receive in that. Just as the living Father sent me and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. I love that phrase, feeds on me. It reminds me of the myth and the symbolism we use of, I think it's the stork, I'm not too sure which bird it is, but it's a stork. And as the myth goes, the stork would be, the mother stork would be up way, way up high on a cliff, and she would never leave her children, never in that way. So she would be up there for 6 months straight. And so everybody be wondering, how does she eat? Where does she get her food from? And how do the babies get their food? And as the story goes, is that the mother would peck her chest, her breast, until it bled. And the little chicks would feed off of the blood of the mother stork. And so this became an image of God. When we look at the pierced heart of Jesus, we feed off of the heart of Jesus, the precious blood and water that flowed out from his side, giving us life. And so this is what he does for us. He gives us his very self. He is willing to pierce himself, to suffer for us, to give us this life, and not just in an event 2,000 years ago. He wants to help us today. Many people will ask, well, what has God done for me today? Behold what happens here on this altar. Because what happens here on this altar is Jesus Christ crucified. For this is my body. This is my flesh, which will be given up for you. This is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be shed for you and for many. It is the sacrifice in which God, the once and for all sacrifice, comes present to us, where we get to visit him on the cross for us, not just weekly, but daily. We get to visit him. Imagine what would you say if you were able to be present before Jesus Christ as he is hanging on the cross. If you were able to see him hanging there on the cross with Mother Mary and John the Evangelist, what would you say to him? What would you do? What would your reaction be? It'd be like any Christian's dream to be able to be there and to thank him. Well, this is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. Because here at the Mass, this is exactly what happens. We are before Jesus Christ himself in the Eucharist. And Mother Mary is there, right there at the foot of the cross with John the Evangelist. We get to be there with them, console the Mother Mary, and to thank Jesus. And we get to preserve, when we look at the angel, there's that statue over at St. Mary's where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and the angel is holding the chalice under his head and collecting all the precious blood. Because every drop could have saved the world, but he spent it all. He gave it all for us. This is the character of who God is. He doesn't drop one blood and go, that's okay, that's enough. No. He gives himself totally. And he shares himself, body and blood, yes, but soul and divinity. He shares his divine nature with us. This is mind-blowing. How could we ever say, I deserve to receive the Eucharist? It is such a precious, holy gift. If the blood of humans were so precious, where soldiers had to clean themselves for days before they could even enter into ritual, because the blood is sacred, how much more sacred is the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so when we come to him, we adore him. Adore him like no other being. We adore him who is the Eucharist.